The Lord of the harvest is calling, for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls o'er the oceans in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie, and a very warm greeting to all the saints and to those who are in tune with the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. I'm very happy to be back with you again for a short visit, either in your home or automobile or wherever you may be hearing the sound of my voice. And may God's richest blessings be yours. I hope you're happy in the service of the Lord. And now for our scripture text for this time, let us again read the verse which we have read on the two previous broadcasts. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, 1 Corinthians 13:13. We've looked at faith and have discovered that it is a must for every child of God. It is indispensable, and without it we could not begin to lay hold upon the promises and appropriate them for our salvation. So then, it is no small thing to have faith. We have also looked at hope and have seen that without it, life would be so worthless and empty. It is hope which ever keeps us looking for better days and better things ahead. It is also hope which furnishes to us an anchor for the soul in the midst of afflictions and adversities of life. But now we come to the crowning element of this text, which is charity. Let us read it again in its fullness. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I have purposely avoided the reading on the broadcast of this last phrase until now, but here we are face to face with this last and powerful statement of this verse, but the greatest of these is charity. If this be true, then we must endeavor to learn more about it. In Webster's dictionary, we find that charity is love, kindness, or help for the needy or suffering. Under the definition of love, we find unselfish concern that freely accepts another in loyalty and seeks his good. The fatherly concern of God for man, brotherly concern for others, man's adoration of God. Now there's a natural love and also a divine love. First, let us consider the natural love. It will go a long way to fulfill its desire. Take, for example, the case of the two mothers recorded in 1 Kings 3:16, who came to King Solomon with their problem, only one living child which both of them claimed as their very own. The mother of this child knew whose child it was. Also, the mother whose child was smothered during the night knew that she had traded the dead for the living child. But yet, each one claimed the one living child. No doubt King Solomon considered this very delicate problem for some while before he arrived at the proper course to pursue. He did not rely on blood types, similarity of appearance, or any of the modern methods of today. The mother's name meant very little to him. He did not check the name on a tiny bead bracelet around the child's arm or neck. But he struck straight at the heart of a mother's love. "Bring me a sword," he exclaimed. Imagine the emotions which were taking place in the hearts of these two mothers as they saw this sword brought to King Solomon. "Now," he said, "divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other." Here he comes to the acid test. Something will have to give in the hearts of these two mothers now. And give it did, for in verse 26, the one with that true mother's love and that yearning in her heart for the life of her son said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it." But the other said, "Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Do you think it was necessary for King Solomon to then call in his electronic experts with some gadget called a lie detector machine to try and determine who was telling the truth? Most certainly not, for there was no mistake of this mother's love for her son. For he then gave the command, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." This is only one example of what natural love or charity will do. But I am thinking of a divine love of God which goes far beyond the natural limitations of human ties and kindred relations. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 we read, "God is love." And in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I like to think about the love of God which is able to reach down and pick up a sinner, wash him in the blood of Jesus Christ, and make of him a saint of God. Then, and not until then, does he know and understand the greatness of the love of God. Notice this little reading called Tom Gray's Dream. Tom Gray lay down on the barroom floor, having drunk so much he could drink no more. So he fell asleep with a troubled brain to dream that he rode on a hell-bound train. The engine with blood was red and damp and brilliantly lit by a brimstone lamp. An imp for fuel was shoveling bones while the furnace rang with a thousand groans. The boiler was filled with lager beer, and the devil himself was the engineer. The passengers made such a motley crew, church member, atheist, Gentile, and Jew, rich men in broadcloth and beggars in rags, handsome young ladies and withered old hags, yellow and black men, red, brown, and white, all chained together, a horrible sight. Then in the distance there rose such a yell, "Ha, ha," croaked the devil, "we're nearing hell." Then, oh, how the passengers shrieked with pain and begged of the devil to stop the train. But he capered about and sang with glee and laughed and joked at their agony. "Faithful friends, you have done my work, and the devil can never a payday shirk. You have bullied the weak, you have robbed the poor, and a starving brother turned from your door. You have laid up gold where the canker rusts and given free vent to your fleshly lusts. You have justice scorned and corruption sown and trampled the laws of nature down. You have drunk and rioted, murdered and lied, and mocked at God in your hell-born pride. You have paid full fare, so I'll carry you through, for it's only right you should get your due. Why, the laborer always expects his hire, so I land you safe in the lake of fire. Then Tom awoke with an agonized cry, his clothes soaked with sweat, his hair standing high, and he prayed as he had never prayed before, to be saved from drink and the devil's power. And his prayers and his cries were not in vain, for he never more rode on the hell-bound train. Now to me this is a typical example of what the love of God will do for one who is steeped in sin. It will pick him up, set his feet on the solid footing of the love of God, and put a new song in his mouth. In Romans 6:23 we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Would you bear with me while I sing a little of the song, The Love of God? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Shall we pause for a moment of prayer? Our Father, Thou who dost love us with a divine love, take the words of this message and carry them to the hearts of all those who are in tune with the mission trail. May it cause those who are bound by habits of sin to leave the paths of sin, to experience the joys of the love of God. Bless all who may be in trials and afflictions, and give them grace and patience to be true. For we ask it in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. I have an announcement to all of you living in and around Shreveport, Louisiana. On Sunday, March the 14th, there will be special services in the chapel of the Church of God located at 7106 Southern Avenue. This is in the Cedar Grove area of Shreveport, Louisiana. In the afternoon, there will be gospel singing with many participating, so if you like good singing, plan to come out and spend the day with us. I plan to be there on this day also. For further information to all of you in this area, contact the pastor, Brother C.C. Carver, at 6125 Willard Avenue. Or you may give him a call on the telephone. That number is 868-0154. That number again, 868-0154. I'm sure he will be glad to give you more information. So all of you in that area, plan to be with us in Shreveport, Louisiana, Sunday, March the 14th. And I would like to remind you that you may have a copy of this message in typewritten form free of charge by asking for message number 3265. If you have enjoyed the broadcast, we would be glad to hear from you. Address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. No other address is needed. That is The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Until next Friday, this is your speaker, Willie Murphy, saying may God bless you wherever you are. Good night.